Welcome to Hoboken Grace. As Chris said, my name is John Carlos. And if this is your first time with us, I just want to echo what he said. We truly hope that you feel right at home, that you feel like family. And so today we're in the last week of this series titled Roots. And what we've been talking about during this series is practical ways, things that we can do, that we can put into practice so that we can experience God's love greater and on a daily basis. And you see, despite what we've been told, God loves us, and he loves us in amazing and incredible ways. And the thing is that for most of us, it's hard to acknowledge or to understand that on a daily basis because, you see, for most of us, we think that there's something that we need to do or that we need to earn this back, but there is nothing we can do to earn that love, that there is nothing that we need to pay back to earn that love, that it has been given to us freely. And it's just ours to experience. And I loved how Perry Noble, he's a pastor down in South Carolina, he tweeted this week. And I loved how he put it. He said, God loves us based on our position as his children, not our performance. See, it doesn't matter what your performance or what you've done, if you've been good or bad. God loves you because you're part of his family. And what we're trying to explain and what we're trying to learn during this series is things that we can put into practice that we can understand and experience God's love greater every single day. Because if God loved us this way, it means that everything we do, the way we live our lives, is a response to that love. It's a response to the love that we've been given. And there's two verses that we've been reading and that kind of have guided our whole conversation. And the first one's in Ephesians. It's found in 3:17. It should be up here behind me. It says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And that's just a beautiful analogy, right? What Paul is saying here is if we want to experience God more, if we want to be more aware of his love, our roots, everything that we do, our nutrients, everything that our experiences need to be rooted in God's love. And then the second verse that we looked at is found in Colossians, and we kind of focus more on this verse. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted, here's a key word, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness, overflowing with thankfulness. And that's what Chris talked about the first week. If we want to experience God, we need to be thankful. And we learned that as we become thankful and we're thankful about the things that we have, that four things happen, right? It brings us peace, it increases faith, it makes the truth of God attractive, and it brings joy and awakens us to his love. And I don't know about you, but after that message, I went on Twitter, I went on Facebook every single second, and I started posting why I was thankful, the reasons I was thankful, and I saw other people doing it. And personally, that act, that practice of being thankful, of finding ways and things that I needed to be thankful for, allowed me to experience God more that week, allowed me to understand his love. And right when we were talking about being thankful, we're not saying be thankful for every circumstance, but that we would be thankful in every circumstance, in every circumstance. And then last week, we looked at the same verse, and we looked a little earlier where it says, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And Chris talked about what faith, right? That it's doing things, and it's always going to involve risk. It's doing things that we don't have the answers to, that we don't completely understand, but that it's going to involve risk, and that in doing that, we're going to be able to experience God. And he talked about three men who are found in the scriptures, about Abraham, David, Moses, and how they experienced that in their own lives, where they took incredible steps of faith. They didn't know what it was going to look like or how it was going to turn out, but that they got to experience God's love, God's provision, his care, and their relationship grew with God. So we've talked through those two points, thankfulness, faith, and today I get to talk to you about the last point or the last thing that we believe that if we put into practice, it'll allow us to experience God more. And what I'm going to be talking about today is about demonstrating God's love. How in demonstrating God's love, we get to be more aware and we get to experience his love more tangibly on a daily basis. And I'm really passionate about this. So it's no coincidence that Chris asked me to speak about this. You see, because all of these principles, all these things that we're talking, they're practical things. They are things that we need to do. You know, it's not things that we listen to. It's things that we do as we walk out, that we try and be thankful. We go on Facebook, if that's what it means, or we express to other people how thankful we are. We take steps that involve risk. and that we start to demonstrating God's love. See, and it's amazing because for anyone who's walked into a church, or maybe this is your first time walking into a church, you know that Christians are supposed to be known for their love, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Everyone's heard that. Everyone's heard that. The problem is that for most of us, we don't even know our neighbors, or we don't even know what to do or how to love them or what it looks like or what qualities or what characteristics it would take to demonstrate that love to our neighbors. And I love what Paul says in Ephesians. It's a chapter right after what we were reading. It's found in Ephesians 4, 1 through 4. And he lays out a few qualities, a few characteristics of how we're supposed to act or what it would mean to show love to those people. Read this with me. It says, Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Right? He's saying, you're going to demonstrate love. It's going to mean that you're going to be humble, that you're going to be patient, that you're going to make allowance for people's faults. And I remember being in college, I was doing an internship at a bank with my good friend, and we'd just come back from lunch. And I don't know why. I thought it'd be funny. I thought it'd be hilarious. She's about to sit down, and I decided, you know, it's going to be really funny if I pull the chair from her. I'm in college. I'm not in first grade. I'm in college. And so I pull the chair from under her, and she falls. She doesn't just fall. She hits her head on the desk, and there I am thinking, okay, I am going to get sued. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to be dead. This is the end of this. And then instantly, our boss's secretary comes over and asks, what happened? And in an instant, she could have said exactly what happened. This stupid guy, this moron, right? He pulled the chair from under me, and you guys should fire him. But she made allowance for my fault. She showed me incredible amount of grace and friendship and love in ways that I couldn't understand. So if we're going to demonstrate God's love, we're going to have to do this on a daily and consistent basis. The thing is, how are we going to be humble? How are we going to be patient? How are we going to, you know, bring peace to people who are crazy? You know, how are we going to forgive people that don't deserve it or that we don't feel like forgiving? How are we going to do that? What does it mean to do that? Well, the demonstration of love, it's an act of faith. The first step in deciding that, you know what, I'm going to demonstrate love the way that God is calling me to do it. It's going to take faith. And it says this in 1 John 4:19. It says, we love each other because he loved us first. We love each other because he loved us first. And this is exactly what I was saying at the beginning. If you want to be able to demonstrate God's love, you need to understand how you've been loved. We need to understand that everything we need, everything was given to us, that God loved us first, and therefore I am able to love you this way. That I didn't necessarily deserve it. That there isn't anything that I can do to repay it, but that I have faith, that I'm going to step out in faith and say, you know what, I'm going to love these people. I'm going to love my crazy coworker, my workaholic boss. I'm going to love my roommate who smells and never cleans up the apartment. I am going to love them. I am going to show them tangible ways of why God loves them. I'm going to do things for them that they wouldn't expect. It's going to take faith. The first step means that we need to step out in faith and believe God has loved us this way. That everything that we need, everything that we can possibly think of comes from him. That he loves us that much. And the thing is, when you start to love people that way, when you start to do things that people don't expect, when you start to clean the dishes for that roommate and you start to do kind things to them and that you start showing patience and you start being humble in these situations, you start to understand that you're unlovable. That you really don't want to do these things. They don't deserve it. They don't appreciate it. They have nothing to offer to you. And when you try and love people this way, you understand how unlovable you are. That you really don't feel comfortable or that you really don't feel like you want to do this. It's going to take faith. You see, and I think the main reason why we think this way and we operate in this system is just because the way we love people is mainly informed by our past experiences, what we've seen in past relationships, what we've seen in our parents' relationship, how they demonstrated love. That's how we demonstrate love. And I think most of us have lived in this system and this worldview that is based on rewards. It's a merit-based system. I mean, I remember in first grade, there was a little chart. I don't know how many of you had that in first grade, but there's a smiley face chart, and maybe we use it upstairs, but there's a smiley face chart, and depending on how good you were, how well you behaved, you got a blue smiley face if you're really good, which in first grade probably just means sitting there and just listening to the teacher. But if you were bad and you did things that you weren't supposed to do and you didn't behave, you got a red smiley face. And if you were really bad and you beat up your little friends like I did a lot of times with my friend, you got no smiley face. See, from an early age, I understood that if I wanted to earn something, if I wanted to earn someone's respect, and if I wanted someone to love me or I wanted that blue smiley face, it would mean that I needed to earn it. That I needed to do something to earn that love, to earn that respect. Yet God's calling us to love and to demonstrate love in ways that don't make sense. And what you understand, and the first thing is, you know what, I don't love these people. I don't love them in ways that I can understand. You know what, even though they don't deserve it, I'm going to show them love. You know what, we don't deserve it. What God did for us was beyond anything we could think of. The way that he came to rescue us, to give us life, to give us hope. We didn't deserve that. And the other thing that we learn quickly, and this is a tweet, another tweet that I saw this weekend, and I want to read to you. It really stresses this point, and you're realizing that I just go on Twitter, and that's how I come up with these messages. Second tweet. It says this. Andy Stanley said, "The more aware I am of the work God has yet to do in me, the less aware I am of what he has yet to do in those around me. The more aware I am of the work God has yet to do in me, the less aware I am of what he has yet to do in those around me." When you start loving people, you start realizing that there is yet so much for us to learn. There is yet so much for us to comprehend of the way that God loves us. And he's calling to us. And the thing is that half the time we don't appreciate what other people do for us. 2 weeks ago, I was on my way to a prayer meeting in the city, so I was supposed to be on my best behavior, right, going to a prayer meeting. Supposed to be spiritual. I'm in a coffee shop, and I'm deciding if I want to drink coconut water, because that's a cool thing to do now. Everyone drinks coconut water. It's a new discovery in this world. Or if I wanted a coffee. So, and this guy starts talking to me. He starts telling me how great his breakfast was, how he loved whatever he ordered, and that it was so nutritious, and that it was great, that I should try it. And I'm like, dude, I'm not acknowledging you. You do not exist. I want my coconut water. Do not talk to me. You don't understand that the rules in New York are that you do not talk to strangers. Right? So he's trying to be kind. He may be offering me the best thing on the menu, and I do not want to listen to him. And then I sit down, and then the guy sits down to me, and he starts talking to me and being nice and carrying on a good conversation, and I did not appreciate it. I learned he was from California, so then I understood why he was being so nice and why he didn't understand what was happening. But half the time, we don't appreciate what other people do for us, right? I mean, sometimes my wife might go out of her way, take me to a nice restaurant, let me order whatever I want, be super kind to me, and I forget and I don't appreciate it for 1 second. I forget to say thank you. I forget to express how much I love her. Sometimes we don't appreciate the things that God does for us, what he did for us. We're the same way. As you start to demonstrate God's love in this way, you understand how unlovable you are. You see, and we have nothing to offer either. I remember when I was a kid, I was sitting at this restaurant with my dad and my brother, and this woman, she was a homeless woman, she comes up and she says, do you have some money? She was begging for money, and my dad said, you know what, I don't have any money, but are you hungry? And she said she was, so he said, you know what, sit next to us, sit at the table, there was an empty table, sit there and order whatever you want. And I remember as a kid, I mean, in that moment, for the first time, I was like, Dad, do you realize who this woman is? This might be unsafe. There's nothing that she can really give to us, offer us. And I mean, people wouldn't want to really associate themselves with her. But what I realized after that moment, and they ended up kicking her out because the people at the restaurant didn't want her there, and we followed. But my dad taught me, you know what? She might not have anything to offer you. And as I'm thinking of demonstrating God's love, I realize I have nothing to offer. There is nothing that I can do to repay what God did for me. There is nothing that I can possibly think of that can make it tangible and explainable of why God did that for me. And that's what we understand as we start to practice and we start to demonstrate this love to other people, is that, you know what? We're going to love them when they don't deserve it, when they don't appreciate it, when they have nothing to offer us. And we break away from that worldview, from that system that we've grown up in, understanding that we're just like that. And the more we do that, the more we understand what God sacrificed, what it cost him, because it's going to cost us. But the more we do it, the more we understand what God sacrificed. If you guys would read with me in Philippians 2:5-8, it says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross." Loving others, it's going to be draining. It's going to be annoying. Yet when we start to love people and demonstrate his love, we understand what it costs him. We understand the sacrifice. You see, it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. That's what God did for us. It cost him more. When you're thinking that coming in here every Sunday to set up chairs, or that you're giving up a day of your week to go to dinner group or to lead a dinner group, or a few hours of your Saturday to go to the ShopRite table to collect food for the homeless, or Black Friday there was a group of people who went out to Target and gave out donuts and hot chocolate. When you're thinking that these things are going to cost you a lot, when you're thinking, you know what, loving people and demonstrating love the way that God is calling me to, loving my neighbor, loving my coworker, having patience with them, it's going to cost me a lot. What you understand is that it costs him more. As you try and put this and apply this and make this practice in your life and stop thinking of what you deserve and what you have earned, we understand, you know what? It costs him more. And then that starts to align us, to bring us into focus, and allows us to understand the truth that was laid out in Acts 20:35. This truth, amazing truth. It's counterintuitive to how we think, right? But it's a truth. And Paul says this, he was writing to the leaders in Ephesus when he wrote this. It says, Acts 20:35, it says, "And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." We're not talking here about giving back to God or earning our way back to that. That's clear. We can't do that. We're talking about giving. It's more blessed to give to other people. I don't know about you, but in September, I'm making a list of what I want for Christmas. I want to receive. The way I think, the way my mindset is set is on what I want to receive. I'm making lists of what I want. My dad should get me a new iPhone. You guys learned that I don't have a smartphone yet, so that's the first thing on the list, right, for my dad. I need to get with times now. I need to own a smartphone, right? Our whole lives, we're thinking of things that we need to receive. What can I receive? We're not thinking about giving. Yet, Paul's saying, and Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. As we start to demonstrate God's love, we start to understand this truth. And one of the ways that I've been able to experience this and kind of grasp it a little more is I'm a dad. So I have a son, he's 20 months old. And man, I understand that I just want to give this little guy everything I can. He can't give me much right now. When he was 2 months, they just stare at you like, and you're like, what do you want? What are you looking at me that way? But You just want to pour out your love. You're willing to give it all up, to give them, because you know how blessed you are when you do that. It's counterintuitive to how we've built our lives. It's counterintuitive to what you've learned in your past experiences. You've learned that you deserve things, that you should be receiving things, that you should get promoted if you put extra hours into work, that your roommate should appreciate your cleanliness, or whatever it might be. That's a system we've been operated, but Jesus is saying, it's better to give than it is to receive, and I've experienced that as a dad, that you know what? I want to give. And trust me, the more you start giving, the more you start demonstrating God's love, I assure you, I am sure of it, you're going to understand that it is more blessed than it is to give. The second way that I've experienced this, and Chris was sharing a little bit about it last week, right, that I've decided to come on full time with Hoboken Grace, and that took a step of faith, you know, that I need to raise my own salary, and that's the first time I've ever done that, that I'm getting a pay cut. And in saying this, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but you see, I never expected to move to Hoboken and for God to change my life in ways that I can't explain, to drastically flip my life around, and that the reason that I would do this was because I wanted to love more people. You see, the step that I'm taking isn't based on my own self-fulfillment or, you know, living my dreams. I've actually given up a lot of my dreams. I've given up the 401k match that everyone looks forward to at the end of the year. I've given up what my retirement on a beautiful tropical island would look like, right? But when I understand that loving this community, that giving back, when I walk into work thinking of ways in which we can impact more lives, that I can show my neighbor how much God loves them, I mean, it energizes you. You experience God in ways that you never thought possible. The sacrifice that it's taking, what it's costing you, is uncomparable to what God did for you. And that starts to happen more and more and more as you start trusting and start taking those steps of faith and trusting, you know what, and demonstrating God's love this way, I'm understanding that I'm unlovable. But I need to love them. That it's going to be more blessed to give to them than it is going to receive. And the more we do that, the more our feelings start to align with the truth. You see, for most of you, as you're listening to me, and I'm telling you, they don't deserve it, they're not going to appreciate it, they have nothing to offer you, you're like, why in the world would I choose to do that? Why would I choose to do that? The thing is that the more you practice it, the more aware you become of God's love, and the more that feeling starts to align with the truth. Our feelings align with the truth. The thing is that most of the time we spend our lives feeling and thinking what we should feel and how it should feel instead of acting and having faith in what the truth is. So the more you start to demonstrate God's love, the more you start finding ways and stop making lists of what you need as you're walking down the sidewalk and thinking of ways of, you know, when you get home, I want my wife to have dinner cooked or things like that. And you start thinking of ways and you can impact people's lives, being strategic of how you can love people. How you can walk into tomorrow and maybe the receptionist that no one talks to, you spend 5 minutes saying, hey, how was your day? How was Thanksgiving? Did you enjoy it? Maybe you're surprised. And she says, actually, I had no one to spend it with. And then an opportunity to show them even more love comes into play. The more you practice this, the more you demonstrate God's love, the more aware you're going to be of how He provides for you, of what He did for you, what it cost Him. So what I'm saying is, if you're willing, if you're able, if you're ready to stop thinking about yourself, of what you need, and you want to dig your roots into God's love, to experience Him more, to experience Him on a daily basis, experience Him in ways that you can't explain, who are you going to demonstrate love to? Who in your life do you need to love? How are you going to demonstrate that love to them? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, I'm challenging you. Demonstrate his love. Understand how unlovable we were, and yet he chose to die on the cross for us. He chose us to be part of his family, to love us in ways that we can't explain. So if you're willing, if you're able, who will you demonstrate love to? How will you demonstrate it to them? Will you guys pray with me? God, we just thank you because you're amazing. And I know in my own life, I've gotten to experience you in ways that are unexplainable. And I understand that I didn't deserve what you did for me. I understand how unlovable I've been. Yet you chose that your son would die on the cross for us. It cost you more. It cost you more to demonstrate me love than what it's going to cost me. God, so my prayer is that as we walk out, God, that we can find ways to demonstrate your love, to demonstrate the hope that we can have in you, and that people realize that following you and demonstrating your love allows us to experience you in incredible ways. That we get to experience your love, your unconditional love, like never before. God, thank you. Thank you so much for what you've done for us, and that we get to experience this love, and that as we walk out today, we get to demonstrate this love to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.